again. So, this is a talk that I, well, actually, it's a modified talk that I gave at Miracle Prayers. There is something about this talk that I thoroughly... I'm not the sort of person who jumps on the spiritual attack train very easily. But the first time I tried to give this talk, I lost my voice in the week leading up to giving this talk. And I only managed to recover my voice in order to give the talk. And the moment that I'd finished, my voice died again. This time, while trying to get the talk from my printer or from my computer out, I went to grab paper. We had no computer paper. We had two pieces of computer paper. Wasn't going to cut it. Had to go to the shops. Got to the shops. Apparently, there's a supply issue. No printer paper until October. And had to try and get some computer paper from elsewhere in order to print it. Started printing it, wanted to print it both sides. The computer said no, or actually the printer said no, and just ripped apart the paper. Finally managed to get the thing out. There wasn't a stapler in the house. Don't know where our stapler had gone. Had to punch it and tie it together with string. Okay, so... I am not the sort of person that likes to jump on the spiritual attack train very easily, but I feel like the amount of difficulties that I've had with this talk, I'm willing to go that there is a little bit of spiritual attack on the train. But there is some modified parts, particularly towards the end. I changed it. So those who have heard this, have heard the Miracle Prayers talk, there is a kind of... I've added some paragraphs, some bits in that are specifically for us, for the community. The first part of the talk talks very much about the church and us as members of the church. The second part looks at us as a community. Okay, my philosophy is that if a talk makes you uncomfortable, then you're being challenged and it's a good talk. I think that this talk will make some people very uncomfortable. In fact, I think I will be one of those people made uncomfortable by it. I would be uncomfortable hearing it, and I'm uncomfortable saying it. So, yeah. Anyway, the topic for this talk is called We Are Bread, and it's a topic that came out of adoration. I was before the Blessed Sacrament. I'm like, I've said yes to giving a talk. I have no idea what I'm going to give this talk on. And the Lord said, well, I was praying before the Lord, meditating, and I was looking at the Blessed Sacrament. And as I looked at the Blessed Sacrament, I was like, we are bread. And then suddenly, like, that kind of stemmed the entire talk from there. So basically my thought is at the Last Supper, when Jesus raised the bread, broke it, gave it to his disciples, he gave us his body that we might become his body. And he chose the thing that he chose in the Eucharist was bread and wine. Now, I'm not going to talk about the wine. I'm specifically talking about the bread. But what is special about bread? It's the perfect symbol for unity. Every culture on earth developed some sort of bread. It's a family meal. It's not... There are dishes in history that were reserved for the elite. There are dishes in history that were left for the poor, but bread was for everyone. Everyone had some form of bread. It's a work of many hands, okay? Unless you're the little red hen, multiple people need to work in order for us to have bread. You need someone who's going to grow the wheat and cultivate it. You need someone who's going to harvest it, someone who's going to grind it up, someone who's going to turn it into flour, someone who's going to turn that flour into dough, someone who who's actually going to bake it. Particularly in ancient times, the person who baked it and the person who turned it into dough were different people. Today, the baker is generally the person who turns it into dough too, but sometimes you have it like the baker's assistant who does it, but that's beside the point. But the point is it takes many hands to make bread. Bread is made from many grains coming together to form one bread, and once you combine the grains together, they no longer exist individually. You can't just kind of go in and fish out a grain out of the bread unless you're eating multigrain, in which case that's a shame. You shouldn't be eating multigrain. It tastes disgusting. Apart from that, generally, once the grain becomes bread, that's it. It's gone. You're not getting it out. It's one with the bread. Okay, and then again, we have in the Old Testament the fact that God uses bread as a symbol for unity over and over again. One of the times, which is one of my personal favorites, is in the tabernacle, or later the temple, there were 12 loaves placed in the sanctuary as kind of on a table, and it was a symbol of unity between the people and God. Obviously, there being 12 loaves, that was the number of his people, okay? The 12 tribes, okay? This was a unity between God and his people. It was, in fact, even called the bread of the presence, which kind of is very much kind of a leading up to or foretelling for the Eucharist. So it goes without saying that Jesus did not just hold up a handful of wheat and go, "This is my body." Rather, it was bread. Okay, the wheat had to come together, form bread. In the bread, the wheat is inseparable from each other. Who knows where one grain ends and the next one begins? And it's only at this point where there is this amalgamation between all the grains that transubstantiation can occur. It's at this point where we are so united as a church that we can't be separated into individuals, that we cease to be just people, and God transforms us into his body, into the body of Christ. Okay? And then the question becomes, what does that say about our faith? Okay? It means that our faith is not about what I believe in. Okay? It's not about my personal prayer. It's not about my personal devotions. Obviously, prayer and devotions are extremely important things, but they're not the point. Our faith, by its nature, is a collective faith. It's universal. The word Catholic literally means universal, whole. Okay? One faith which we share, the Eucharist, the source and summit of our faith, is a shared worship which we unite with Christ and with each other. Someone once said to me that when they go to adoration, the other people in adoration, those before them and those after them, just basically ignore them the entire time. So they come in, they try and say hi, the other people just kind of ignore them, continue praying, and then once kind of their time goes, they leave. And there's no connection. And it kind of misses the point. It's a misunderstanding. Like, when we adore the Eucharist, like, where it's about unity. We should be a unity too. Okay, when we're in adoration, one of the greatest things that one of my experiences was being in adoration at like 2 to 3 o'clock in the morning, and having an opportunity to build a relationship with a person who I shared an adoration hour with. Saying hello, saying goodbye after we left the chapel, having a bit of a chat on the way to the car, and actually kind of building relationship with each other. In fact, one week we even just kind of spent 15 minutes or so just having a conversation, chat, kind of, and it was really nice. It was like the unity that was kind of going on between us in the chapel reflected the unity that was going on inside the Eucharist. Again, another situation. Okay, I have 4 kids under 6. Anyway. And I've been to churches where it feels like people are glaring at you if your kids make any noise whatsoever. It's like you have decided to ruin their personal prayer time by bringing your kids to Mass. And that's not the purpose of going to church. Going to church isn't about personal prayer. It's about it's liturgy. It's common worship. It's about unity. It's about oneness. It's about coming together and loving each other and being the body of Christ. If you go to Mass, interact with no one, go home, you're missing the point of what it means to be part of the body of Christ. Even if we look at Christ himself, Christ is a member of a unity. Okay, people have spent 2,000 years trying to work out what's going on with the Trinity, and we will spend a lot more time trying to work out, because you know what, we're not going to ever work that out because it's a mystery. But the point is that it's the parts of the Trinity are so united. They're one God, but it's almost impossible to separate them. But at the same time, they're three individuals, three persons. Like, maybe the point wasn't to try and understand it, but try and emulate it. If you want to be Christ-like, which is the aim of the Christian journey, then you must be in unity, because Christ is in unity. It's not some sort of strange enlightenment that you can find when you've locked yourself into a cave and sit there for 20-odd years just kind of contemplating. Okay, it's actually something that we find with others. It's when we're practicing humility, sacrificing ourselves and loving others that we become. We become a problem within my thought. Anyway, it's only the when we're actually with others, practicing humility, that we're actually able to kind of become Christ. So if you haven't got the gist this far, okay, we need to join with other grains in order to become bread. Okay, but that's not to say that as wheat we don't bring our own individual flavor. Now, in Australia, the wheat that we interact with most of the time is pretty sterile in flavor. Like, in terms of, we go to Coles, we grab a bag of flour, and you know what? It's all pretty homogenous. It's all the same thing. But if you go to different parts of the world, there are different characteristics in the wheat. Okay, particularly, like, if you're a very avid bread maker, you'll know, like, a lot of different types of bread recipes call for different types of flour. It's like one cup of triple O flour and one cup of, like, baking flour, one cup of this sort of flour. And so the reason why that they call for different sorts of flour is because different flours have different characteristics. Different wheat pieces, different grains of wheat have different characteristics. Okay, if you go and make some flour with the wheat that's grown in the wheat belt of Australia, a nice dry, barren sort of soil, really harsh, I'm sure that it's going to taste very different to having some wheat ground from Europe, where it's lush and green and the wheat is kind of constantly in like a beautiful amount of rain and is kind of, yeah. Anyway, they're going to have very different sorts of characteristics. And in fact, there are certain types of bread that actually require wheat to be grown, that's grown in certain areas. There's like a panna di Alamura that requires wheat that's been grown in a certain area of the world, Europe, because the wheat in that location has a different characteristic. Okay, and these differences are important when we look at Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12 to 24. Okay, it really highlights the importance of diversity. Okay, we're one body, but we have different parts, okay, different roles. Everyone has their own place. No one should be thinking that because I'm not a hand, I'm not important, or because I'm not an eye, that there's a problem. Like if everyone was an eye, there would be no hearing going on. Okay, every single part of the body is important. Except for apparently the tonsils. Anyway, so a few weeks ago, I was having a discussion about the different ways of expressing your faith in the church. Okay, so talking about the different charisms. And there's an unfortunate habit that we can get into of building ourselves like the perfect image of what it means to be holy. Okay, this is what it means to be doing the Christian journey. This is the sort of person that I should be. And you know what? If I don't fit into that model, well, I must be doing it wrong. Or if other people don't fit into that model, they're doing it wrong. Okay, maybe those people are just too pious. Maybe they're too out there. Maybe they're too questioning, too controversial, too reserved, not respectful enough, too trustworthy. Okay, maybe too traditional, maybe too charismatic, okay? But the thing is that we forget that each part of the body of Christ reflects a different aspect of Christ himself. And a brilliant way of looking at this is looking at the different religious orders. You've got some religious orders that do lock themselves away for years and years on end, and they don't talk to anyone, and they just live lives of prayer. You've got those who tend to the sick, those who heal, those who teach and focus on trying to make sure, like, educate. You've got those who defend the faith. You've got those who preach to those in prison, those who just focus on studying, those who feed the hungry. They're each kind of role, as hugely different as they are, reflects a different part of the body of, or a different aspect of Christ himself. To wrap up the first part of the talk, how do we be one body and one bread in the church? What does that look like? Well, it's seeking out what's best for our brothers and sisters in Christ. When there is unity, there should be no one in need. No one should feel alone or like a burden. When there's unity, our communities of faith feel like brothers and sisters. There are no acquaintances in the room, just relatives. Seeking unity with our brothers and sisters and not division. Christ speaks extremely strongly against this, so does Paul. People who act in a spirit of Christ bring people together. They don't isolate and drive people away. During COVID, the church saw lots of division. We saw a lot of people, particularly if you were on Facebook, not a nice place to be. We saw a lot of people some people were even on the verge of rebelling against like their local bishops or even the Pope. And it was like, if you're on the verge of rebelling, like, that's not a spirit of unity. When the Bible speaks against having a party spirit or a a factioning spirit, but rather that we should be coming together, okay, and kind of moving forward kind of as a whole. There's a Bible passage that says, those who do not gather with me scatter. And I think that during, certainly at various periods of time, particularly during hardship, we see a lot of people that sometimes employ some scattering methods rather than some gathering methods. Understanding that the Catholic faith is not an individualistic faith. It's not my belief, it's not your belief, it's our belief. Unfortunately, when Martin Luther stood before the Diet of Worms and said that he is subject to his own interpretation of Scripture and not that of the Magisterium, he bred this idea that faith should be something that is kind of a personal thing and that you can kind of go shopping and choose kind of which bits you want and leave off which bits you don't, which really isn't the way that the Catholic Church works. The Catholic Church, once again, literally means whole, universal. It's one faith, and together we should be trying to help each other understand its richness, its beauty. Engaging in shared services and outreach. I feel like as a community, this is something that we understand quite well. But sometimes we can kind of focus within the community and not necessarily remember that this is also something that needs to be happening in the outside church too. Like in our own parishes, we need to be also trying to build unity there too. And so maybe we also need to kind of remember that we need to be doing shared mission at parish, at our local parish. Obviously, mission activity strengthens people. It brings people together under a common cause, unifies the wider church. It's lovely. We've got supporting the spiritual growth of those around us. Obviously, in community, we've got some very strong pillars. Okay, we've got pillars of share group. We've got pillars of discipleship. But unfortunately, for those outside, they don't have that. Okay, people in the church don't have these kind of support for their spiritual growth. Okay, we're the ones who need to help them. We need to assist them on their journeys. And connect with those in the church. No one should come to a church and leave feeling lonely, unwanted, unloved, unwelcomed. Okay, and certainly no one should be leaving a gathering feeling like that. If we do, we've failed to live up to the sort of unity that the Eucharist calls us to. Simple acts like genuinely welcoming people when we see them, and saying hi to the people around us, particularly when we're in church, just making sure that we say hi to the person that we're sitting next to, or this person that we're sitting behind or in front of, just making sure that we kind of talk to them, make them feel welcome. And then seeking opportunities to pray as a group. Okay, Matthew 18:20, for when two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. This isn't just a promise. This is a fact. Okay, when two or three are gathered in his name, okay, we've got bread. And so, where there's bread, transubstantiation, Jesus is there because we are there. Jesus is in this room not because we spent an hour doing praise and worship. Jesus is in this room because we're here and we love each other and we are a community. That's why Jesus is in this room. It's because of our bond with each other. We're the body of Christ. Of course Jesus is here. It's a fact. Now, obviously this is two-layered for us because we've got kind of us as Christians in the just general like church, but then there's also the fact of us in community. So why did God put it on my heart to give this talk and share it at Gathering? Well, I said at the beginning of the talk that there would be parts of the talk that would be uncomfortable and that I would feel uncomfortable listening to, and I would be uncomfortable saying, and this is the part that is uncomfortable. If we're being honest with ourselves, we are a great community. We're a community, check. But are we always unified? Are we always bread? Are we always a body? I use the analogy that when wheat has been ground into flour, you can't tell the difference where one grain ends and the next grain begins. Is our community like that? And I don't think it always is. There are times where we are, but there are times where we're not. There are people who have left community because they feel unseen, unwelcome, unloved. There are people in this room that might feel the same way too. There are people who might think, am I really part of this body? There are people who are thinking, I've spent X amount of years serving this community and when I needed them, they weren't there. To be blunt, there are areas where we're not living up to our covenant. In fact, we're not even living up to our call as Catholics. And it's hard to talk about this because I am guilty of this. We're all guilty of this because we're aiming to be one body, which means if we're aiming to be one body, then we must all take the blame. There are people here, or not here, that when things get hard or tough, community commitments are the first thing that go. That's not how a community is meant to be. Also, not necessarily all their fault. When things get hard or tough, people should be running to the community, running to their brothers and sisters, saying, help. That's the sort of openness that we should be in relationship with each other. I was chatting with some people last night at the covenant meeting, and we were talking about sometimes something happens and you go through struggles and you feel like you don't want to share it with people. And the question becomes, why not? Why don't we have an environment where people want to share the struggles with each other on a personal level? Aren't we brothers and sisters? If we're going through hardship or struggle, it should be each other that we can rely on. It boggles my mind to think that there are gardening groups out there, like people who kind of look after nature reserves, like the one over there, where they're doing... they're able to make everyone feel like they belong, sometimes better than we are. And it's our mission. It's our mission as a community, it's our mission as Catholics. We're on a mission to love, to support, to understand, to have compassion for each other. We're meant to be one body. That being said, we do have our strengths, okay? This isn't just Cameron being kind of negative. Okay, we are really good at structured support, okay? Food rosters, when people are like having a baby or something like that, we are fantastic at doing a food roster. Okay, we are great. Well, I say great, but we're quite decent. We organised an initiative where we tried to get young people and some seasoned members. I say seasoned members because I don't want to say older people because I fall into that category. That initiative did okay. Okay. We're pretty good at helping when someone asks for assistance in something very specific. Okay. We know, like if someone says, "Hey, I need this," someone will put their hand up and say, "You know what? I can help." But, we sometimes struggle when that's not the case. When someone's struggling in an area where we can't just throw a food roster at it, we sometimes kind of have a little bit more difficulty with that sort of thing. And so some of the areas that we can kind of build more unity within the community, first thing we can do is kind of accept responsibility. Okay, it's easy to point fingers at other people, and sure, in a community, we're all responsible, but at the end of the day, the only people that we have control over is ourselves. And so we can help by setting the tone of what the community should be. Have empathy. I've heard some people say that there's an apathy in parts of our body. And what's really important is the opposite of apathy is empathy. Okay, you can't combat apathy by focusing really hard on the commitment side of things. There are plenty of people who are apathetic about the faith sitting in churches because their commitment is putting them there. Okay, but it's empathy that drives away apathy. When people are loved, that's when they will connect. An example of this is, An example of this is if you're a share group leader, okay, and people are missing share group just because they don't want to come, well, maybe that says something about our actual relationships within, or the relationship dynamics, okay? Maybe the first thing that we need to actually do is focus on increasing the bonds to each other. Okay, and sometimes it can be something simple, like just, okay, from next week we're going to have sharing and we're going to share over a game of poker. We're going to do sharing over a drink. We're going to do sharing over desserts. We're going to do sharing in a way that kind of is fun. It bonds us together, but at the same time, we're still focusing on what the purpose of share group is. I lost myself. Sharing group is a little bit weird because we kind of shove people together and say, "There you are, share your life, off you go." It's a bit strange. The first time you're there, you're like, yes, stuff's going on. Am I supposed to share this with you? I don't know. So we really should need to focus on actually building relationships with each other, okay? There shouldn't be a person in this room that I'm not comfortable turning around and sharing with what's going on in my life with, okay? And that can start with share group. Obviously, it can also start with gathering too. It's just share group was an easier example. Sharing a table. Okay, inviting people over that you might not normally catch up with. Okay, once again, we've got an initiative with the young people and the less young people, which is awesome, but we need more of this. We need more building relationships. Yeah, it just needs to be our aim. Having fun together, okay? There is more to community than prayer, talks, sharings, as I say, a talk. We need to bond together, okay? Let off steam, have fun, connect. Communicate more with each other, be open to vulnerability with each other. come to each other in vulnerability and share how you're really feeling. If you need help, let us know. If you're unable to do something, like make share group, make gathering, let us know. Tell us why. We can pray for you. Along the lines of communication, we also need to practice some kind of just generally good communication things of like not talking behind people's backs or being passive aggressive or just plain old aggressive, but rather build communication openly, and as a community we're going to be in a much better place. How much time do I have? I've got, come on, Frank. Come on. Nah, it's done. Oh yeah, okay, I've got a couple of minutes. Awesome, I can pull this off. Okay, now, one last thing, or actually two last things. Well, one last thing. One of this really beautiful thing that I saw at Mount Pleasant, which is Mount Pleasant Baptist Church, which is a church which I work at a college that's attached to it, and it's a really beautiful way that they pray with each other. So a lot of the times when we're praying with each other as a community, we kind of have one person lead the prayer and the other person's to the side kind of supporting with lots of yes, Lords, yes, Lords, yes, yes, Lord, yes. Okay. One of the beautiful things that they did was the way that they did praying with people was they got the person who's being prayed with to start by saying a prayer for what they wanted. So, if that person was having trouble with whatever it was, they would say a prayer. Lord, I'm really having trouble in this area. I ask that you help me, etc., etc. The next person in the prayer team said the same prayer and along the same lines, okay, and just basically repeated the same thing again, and then finally the last person said it. And it was beautiful. Like, I remember seeing it for the first time going, wow, this really is a unity within the prayer team. Like, every single person is saying the same prayer, asking the Lord for the same thing. Like, this is when, like, literally two or three gathered in his name asking the exact same thing. And it was really beautiful. It was like this unity that I just kind of slapped me in the face, and I was like, wow. Anyway, so that's another way that perhaps we could try and mix things up a bit, increase unity. And finally, remember that it takes effort to turn bread or wheat into bread. If we want to be Christ, we need to be one with each other first. Thank you.